Chapter 51. Jesse didn't call Molly immediately. Instead, he fell deeply into one of the lies alcoholics tell themselves. He told himself he didn't need a drink. He didn't even want another. That the short ones he'd had earlier at the station were anomalies. That's the thing about addictive behavior. It's not only the substance you're addicted to that's the problem. It's all that comes with it. The patterns, the rituals, the games, the false narrative about loss of control, and the overt lies. He knew all of this, yet felt helpless to stop it once he had taken that first drink. He remembered an old drunk cop from his time in uniform in L.A. Mikey Barson was a few months away from putting in his papers after 30-plus years when Jesse was nearing his first full year on the job. In those days, they assigned vets with problems to less than dangerous duty and allowed them to go gently into the good night. No one was looking to hurt anybody or screw them out of their pensions. Not like when Jesse was shown the door and unceremoniously kicked through it. Anyway, there was one night Jesse and Barson were next to each other at a retirement party or wake. Sort of the same thing, Jesse thought, laughing joylessly. "Haven't had a drink in 3 months before tonight," Barson had said, double bourbon in hand, turning to Jesse. "And look at me, right back to where I was." "Huh?" "You'll see, Rook. Stop for 3 days, 3 months, 3 years. Don't matter. You take that first drink and time disappears. You used to drink a half bottle when you stopped. It'll take a half bottle when you get back. You never stop being the same drunk." Jesse didn't suppose anyone had ever told him something that rang so true and for so long. He wasn't a full-fledged drunk back then. At least that was what he told himself. Now, what he did instead of calling Molly or taking that inevitable drink was to unload and reload ammo into the clips of their weapons. It was busy work, robotic. It took just enough concentration to distract one's mind and tamp down the thirst. But when the four clips were done, the room got very small. TV worked for a little while, a very little while. He heard Dix's voice in his head, taunting him. "I told you so. You were only holding your breath again. You were never going to give it up forever. You like it too much. Deep down inside, it's who you are, what you are. Certainly no better than Mikey Barson. Worse, Barson didn't lie to himself the way you do." Of course, the script was Jesse's and Jesse's alone. It was Jesse beating himself up. Dix, though tough on Jesse, would never have said, "I told you so," or anything of the sort. Jesse felt his eyes searching for the minibar. Unlike in most hotels, its location wasn't obvious. Then, pulling back a door on one of the dressers, he found it. Relieved, but still resisting, he dialed the Paradise PD's station number. Molly picked up.
"Paradise Police Department, Officer Crane speaking. How may I assist you?"
"I think that's as polite as you've ever been to me," Jesse said.
"Don't be an ass. If I knew it was you, I wouldn't have made the effort. I might have hung up."
"I miss you too, Crane. Update me."
"First, how's Dallas?"
"You ever stick your head inside a blast furnace? It's like that, only prettier and more sprawling. So far, I've seen the airport, the inside of the Vineland Park PD, and our hotel room."
"Have you seen Jen yet?" Molly asked, her voice almost breathless. "Has Diana met her?"
"What is it with you and Diana with Jen?"
"Don't be thick, Jesse."
"Diana called me thick, too."
"This is big for her. Anyone who knows you for more than 5 minutes understands that Jen was the central figure in your life for a long time. Diana wants to see if she measures up. If she could be that meaningful to you. Measuring up is just as important to women as it is to men, only we don't use rulers and parts of our anatomies to do it. And if you don't think Jen isn't just as anxious about meeting Diana, you're nuts."
"Enough," Jesse said.
So what's going on over there? What you would expect. Crime scene's a mess. Peter Perkins is over there. They've recovered part of the Sentra's chassis and a sawed-off 12-gauge. Nothing yet on human remains. Peter says the Stadies think the remains will be skeletal and badly charred, but that they should be able to get some usable DNA from the scene. Everything else is calm. Robbie Wilson is PO'd that you're not here, but screw him. No thanks, not my type. He's nobody's type, Molly said. Call me tomorrow and let me know how things go tonight. Diana will knock her out in the fifth. Wise ass. That's Chief Wise Ass to you. Molly hung up. Jesse looked at the clock and realized that it would probably be at least an hour until Diana got back to the room. He headed straight to the minibar and removed a little bottle of Black Label. All that was missing was club soda and a poster of Ozzie Smith. He managed without them just the same. He was adaptable that way.